Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a magnificent day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm blessed beyond measure, shaken down, running over as my cup cannot contain it. I tell you what, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, regardless of who the new Attorney General nomination is. It doesn't make a difference, guys. We have to understand. We've got to figure this out here for a second. Okay, I'm going to give you some. I've said some things to you guys before. I haven't given you full documentation. Now we're going to give you some documentation on some stuff. Okay, Attorney General William Barr was the fixer for President George H.W. Bush, the known cocaine trafficker, the known person involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the head of the CIA, dirty to the core Bush, okay? Attorney General Barr covered up the BCI scandal. He covered up the Bush drug running operations. He justified the unlawful attack on Panama, the kidnapping of Panama General Manuel Noriega, and quite frankly, I'm not sure if Trump could have nominated a worse nominee for Attorney General. He's that bad. He was not only was a close collaborator of George Bush, but he also did a lot of dirty work for the president that boggles the mind. And so it's just hard for me to believe that this president is basically trying to drain the swamp with this. I mean, we have sat here and have given him all of the luxuries of, okay, you're going to put Kavanaugh in. Okay. Well, Kavanaugh just ruled in favor of not hearing a case against Planned Parenthood, thereby letting the state rulings rule in their favor of Planned Parenthood along with Justice Robertson. Okay, that's Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is the one who basically said that Vince Foster committed suicide. And you guys know, when Kavanaugh got nominated, I pitched a fit. And then what happened is the left and the media went after Kavanaugh, including the Jewish lady who basically said that he had groped her when she was a teenager. And so we're all sitting here going, okay, let's not look at what Kavanaugh did with Vince Foster. Let's get him elected because and put him in the power because, you know, he's being attacked by the left. No. This is what they do. This is what they do. They want to make sure you play the shell game with them. Don't look at what he did 20 years ago with Vince Foster. Don't do that. No, don't look at that 25 years ago, whenever it was. Ignore all of that. Nothing to see here. Move on. The guy's a hardcore conservative. We don't want him in, even though they want him in because of what he just did with Planned Parenthood. So this is the same thing that's happening with this new AG nominee Barr. I mean, this guy is not draining the swamp. He is filling the swamp. And quite frankly, Trump's mission of draining the swamp, I can see right now, it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Not ever going to happen. We're not going to have 60,000 sealed indictments opening up this month. Now they're telling us this next month. I love this, Austin. This month, next 2 weeks. Oh, now it's next month. Okay. It reminds me of the Iraqi dinar and how every month, this is going to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you who's running the show and who these guys are right now. It started with the Federal Reserve Act. It started with the Russian Revolution. It started with the Kabbalah. It started with communism. It started with Karl Marx. And they used a guy who was born in 1867 at the time of Karl Marx, in those times, the same time period. His name was Otto Hermann Kahn. Now, in case you think I'm making any of this up, I'm reading it off his Wikipedia page right now. Then I'm going to cut back over some of his quotes. He was a German-born American investment banker, collector, philanthropist, and patron of the arts, according to Wikipedia. He was also a Rothschild front guy, Rothschild cutout, given huge amounts of money by the Rothschild banking cartel to do their work, and also was one of the people that was instrumental in the formation of the Federal Reserve. He was born in Mannheim, Germany, raised there by his Jewish parents, Emma Nie Eberstadt and Bernard Kahn. His father had been among the refugees to the United States after the Revolution of 1848 and became an American citizen, but later returned to Germany. Kahn was educated in a gymnasium or university in Mannheim, Deutschland, in Germany. He was one of eight kids. He became super, super wealthy, working with Kuhn, Loeb, and Company, helped found the Federal Reserve Bank, by the way, in New York City, where his father-in-law, Abraham Wolf, was a partner. In 1917, Kahn gave his British nationality, became a United States citizen. Besides his father-in-law, Kahn's other partners included Jacob Schiff, Federal Reserve Bank, himself the son-in-law of Sam Loeb, Federal Reserve Bank, who co-founded the firm, Paul and Felix Verberg, Federal Reserve Bank. Almost immediately, Kahn was thrown into contact with railroad builder E.H. Harriman, You got to go back and watch the video now from JFK to 9/11, and it talks about E.H. Harriman. Now, he was funded by this group of Rothschild boys. In spite of sharply defined differences in temperament and method, they became as brothers. In opposition to Harriman's gruff, domineering, aggressive manner of business, was Kahn's calm, good-humored, almost general, gentle deportment. This is, you got to go through this. All worked together with the Union Pacific Railroad. Kahn was soon to be acknowledged as the ablest organizer of the railroads in the United States. He applied himself to the Biltmore and Ohio Railroad, helping the Rothschilds acquire interest. The Missouri Pacific Railroad, same thing. The Wabash Railroad, the Chicago and Eastern Illinois Railroad, and the Texas and Pacific Railroad. And by allowing them to basically take over the rail in the United States through the Rothschild and him as the cutout, he became insanely rich. In fact, he built the second largest home in America, just slightly smaller than the Biltmore estate in Asheville. Still, the second largest home in America. That's how this guy's, that's how rich he became, because he did the bidding of his parasite masters, the Rothschilds. Now, I just wanted to mention this to you, who he was. In fact, his estate was 443 acres. It was on Long Island, and he built the Ohika Castle. And it's basically 109,000 square feet, 127-room mansion. Structure was designed as second largest private residence in the United States after George Vanderbilt's 175,000-square-foot Biltmore estate in Asheville. Now, I'm reading you from his Wikipedia page. So any of this stuff that you guys want to put together, you can put together on this. Now, guys, here's the problem with all of this stuff. This guy was a hardcore Zionist. He worked with the same guy who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson. They were buddies. This is the guy who brought us the Scofield Bible. In addition to that, we need to understand who and what he was and how they controlled everything. Now, here's an article I want to read you. This is very, very important. That was Samuel Untermyer, was his buddy. He was a Cohn Lee banker. They all control. And here's what he said. We control both the left and the right. In a candid moment after World War I, after the Rothschilds had set up the Balfour Declaration, the Rothschilds had set up the League of Nations, the Rothschilds had set up shortly before that, 6 years earlier, the Federal Reserve Bank and the income tax in the United States, Mr. Cohn Lee partner Otto Kahn explained it this way, quote, the Kabbalist bankers, this is from the Jewish Kabbalah, remake the world by creating artificial conflicts and determining the outcome. Now listen to me, please. These include the World Wars, the Cold War, and the phony left-right gridlock, which is what we're getting right now with the Attorney General nomination. Now, think about this for a second. He goes on to say, this article goes on to say, that he was a partner of Jacob Schiff and Paul Warburg in America's most influential banking firm of Cohn Lee, also Federal Reserve. Thus, it's worth recalling what he said about the Jewish Illuminati strategy. This is his quote. In his book, Geneva versus Peace, 1937, the Comte de Saint-Hilaire, who was the French ambassador to London from 1920 to 1924, recalled a dinner conversation with Otto Kahn, which took shortly place after World War I. This shocking expose is fast disappearing down the memory hole. Quote, ask why bankers would back Bolshevism, communism, a system supposedly inimical to private ownership. Kahn tugged on his enormous cigar and explained that the bankers create apparent opposites to remake the world according to their specifications. Quote, this is Kahn's quote, you say that Marxism is the very antithesis of capital, which is equally sacred to us. It is precisely for this reason that they are direct opposites to one another, that they are put into our hands, two poles of this planet, and allow us to be the axis. These two contraries, like Bolshevism and ourselves, find their identity in the international. And basically what he means is in the creation of this one world order. These opposites meet again in the identity of their purpose and end in the remaking of the world from above by the control of riches and from below by revolution. Quote, our mission consists in promulgating the new law and creating a God, that is to say, purifying the idea of God and realizing that when the time shall come. We shall purify the idea by identifying with the nation of Israel, which has not even become a nation at this point, which has become its own Messiah. The advent of it will be facilitated by the triumphal end of, by final triumph of Israel. Now, all of this was to create Israel. All of this was to bring in Zionism. This guy was a huge Zionist, just like the man who basically, just Simon Samuel Untermyer. If you go to Samuel Untermyer's page at Wikipedia, I will go to that right now, because guys, you need to understand where this stuff is coming from. All of this stuff was to bring in a new world order through Zionism. They had to get rid of the Christian people who were basically standing against Zionism. They had to get rid of this Christian people as far as what they believed. They had to change their belief of what they believed. Wikipedia, Samuel Untermyer, 1858. All these guys are from the same era. Died in March 1940. It was a prominent lawyer, civic leader. He's also remembered for bequeathing his New York estate, known as Untermyer Park, to the state of New York City. Now, he was born. He was educated at Columbia. He was admitted to the bar. He had one of the largest, basically, lawsuits that was given to him, as far as it was over $1 million from a single case. And here's what it says. Untermyer gained fame as a lawyer focusing on corporate law. He became an advocate of stock market regulations, government ownership of railroads. Here we go. We're back to communism. And various legal reforms. He was also a prominent Zionist leader and the first attorney to earn over $1 million. In addition, Untermyer served as chairman of the board that framed America's income tax. You hear this? And excess profits during World War I. Untermyer frequently attended the Democratic National Convention as a delegate. As an active Zionist, Untermyer was also an advocate for the Zionist Liberation Movement and the president of Helen Hesiod, the agency through which the movement could be conducted in America. He was a hardcore communist, what he was. And he was a Zionist, and he was doing everything he could to push this through with these other guys who were working with him, with Kahn. Now, you think through this for a second. They had to get rid of the Christians. They had to stop the people who were Christians from getting in the pulpit. They couldn't do that without involving the Christians like Hagee in the Zionist movement to basically promote the production of Israel and to make Israel the state that could do anything and that they would never, ever be held accountable for it. He had to do all of this stuff, and you can't do that if the Christians in America don't believe that if you stand and say that Israel did something wrong, that you're going to be cursed. I have people that are friends of mine. They misquote the scripture. We could do a whole scripture thing if you'd like. And they are saying that if you don't bless Israel, you don't give Israel money, you don't give Israel a pass on every single thing that you do, what ends up happening is you're cursed. Guys, Chuck Baldwin said it this way. 70 years ago, we had the State of Israel started, and we allowed the State of Israel now to come in and control us through AIPAC and through, basically, we talked about this last week, through the Anti-Defamation League, and control Congress and control what we can and can't say, specifically going after right-wing groups before they can get any power or any money to become effective. Before we did all this, remember, we were back in the Andy of Mayberry days. We were back in World War II. We had a strong Christian value in the United States. We didn't have pornography. We didn't have filth in the schools. We didn't have transhumanism. We didn't have transgenderism. We didn't have any of this stuff. So how have supporting these left-wing communists, remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago with Prager. Prager said that these left-wing communist Jews have come in now and they've destroyed both sides of Judaism and caused all this persecution to come against the right-wing Jews who don't believe in all of this stuff with all this communism. And so that's why Prager got on her all. Prager got his doggone Facebook thing slashed by 99.9999%, according to PragerU, as far as views on Facebook, and then he wrote the article about this. Now, you got to understand this. Now, we're separating them again. We got these left, hardcore, Zionist, communist, Jewish people, most of which are satanic, who follow Lucifer on the hardcore left side of this. They have come in now. They have subverted Christianity by giving us the Scofield Bible, which tells us that we have to accept everything that Israel does. When this Bible was first printed around 100 years ago and was promoted by Samuel Untermyer using Scofield to the areas in New York City and then taken to the Oxford Press to be given to the universities and the Christian universities in the United States, they knew they were introducing this philosophy that had never been taught for 1,850 years since the ascension of Jesus Christ. They knew that. But they didn't care because they had to do this. Now, this same Scofield Bible, even though Scofield's been dead now for almost 100 years, has gone through major revision after major revision after major revision after major revision, promoting more and more and more and more and more the state of Israel in our universities and colleges and Christian organizations. Now, I'm going to say this, and I said it on Hagman on Friday night. I'm going to say it again. This Judeo-Christianity is an oxymoron. It doesn't work. It doesn't. That's a term that was started by the Zionists. You've got Judaism and you've got Christianity. Judaism, you have the Old Testament Judaism that practices from the Torah, which is very, very rare. And you've got the new, then you've got the new century, basically, Judaism that practices from the Talmud, from the Kabbalah, and from the Zohar that was written between first century and the sixth century AD. We don't have the exact dates on all of the books. There's like 36 different volumes put together. They're mutually exclusive to the Old Testament. Most of these guys that use this part of Judaism with the Talmud, they don't even practice from the Torah. They haven't even read the Torah. They think it's a book of fables. I joke, I kid you not, I've talked to too many of them. They don't believe in heaven or hell. They don't believe in an afterlife. They believe when you're dead, you're dead. When you're gone, you're gone. That's what they believe. That there's no moral recourse that happens to you when you die. In other words, if you were a lying sack of crap your entire life and all you did was stole, cheat, and killed people, when you die, you die. There's no judgment. There's nothing. Now, the guys who still practice from the Torah, they don't believe that. So, just like there's different sects of Christianity, you've got the people who claim to be Christians, and you've got the people who say they're not Christians, and then you've got the people that are like the people from Jim Jones' version of the Christianity group they had down there in Ghana, which is basically a big CIA mind control experiment, by the way, if you haven't done your research on that. They claim to be Christians too, but now they felt that Jim Jones was their Messiah. You get these sects that go off the sides of Christianity, and you also have these sects that go off the sides of Judaism. This sect of Judaism, this hardcore left communist side, is the sect that was disavowed by standard Jews that's called the Sabbatean Kabbalists or the Luciferians or the followers of Sabbatean Zevi, also known as Jacob Frank and his group. That's who these guys are. These are the hardcore Luciferian communists who are doing everything they possibly can to bring in World War III. The primary organization that runs them right now is Shabbat. This is the left sect of these guys that run it. There's like 200,000 Shabbat members globally. That's it. Now, remember, Jared Kushner is a Shabbatist. They practice Kabbalah. They do the Zohar. They practice all of the stuff, Gematria, and all the stuff from the Old Testament that's in, not in our Old Testament, but their old book, the Talmud. And what's interesting about this, Austin, is you've got to understand, like saying it, all Christians. See, you get people like, you know, Jehovah's Witness. Well, Christians don't consider Jehovah's Witness to be Christians, and actually Jehovah's Witness don't consider themselves to be Christians if you really talk to them. So you get all these different sects of Judaism, like you get these different sects of Christianity. But you can't say this sect of Judaism is bad, or this sect of this group is bad, because then you are a anti-Semite. The ADL wants to jump on top of you, and they want to make sure they destroy you, and basically label you as a right-wing fringe kook. That's what they do. Now, but you've got to understand who all these guys were. Otto Kahn, you've got to remember who Samuel Untermeyer was. But Otto Kahn said in that meeting, they control both sides of the narrative. It's as if they hold the poles of the earth, the North and South Pole, in their hands, and they turn the earth any which way they want to turn it to control the final outcome, which is to bring in their serpent god, Lucifer, which is what they want to do, because this is what happened when the guy back in 1666, the guy, this Sabbatean Zevi, got together and put all of the stuff together and said, you got to make everything as bad as you possibly can. These guys also brought in the teachings and the teachings of Aleister Crowley and all of the satanic movements that have been running around. So that's who these clowns are. Now, there's no other way that they worship demons. They worship, they worship phallic symbols. They've tied it together with the Masonic lodges, which is also built out of the Kabbalah, and they've tied it together with ancient Egyptian mysticism. That's where this stuff came from. And guys, I've gone back all the way to Genesis chapter 6 on this show, and I followed it all the way through for you guys. That's what's happening. So when you see stuff like this happen in Washington, D.C., where the attorney general is as deep of a swamp rat as we're ever going to get, his new nomination, and now all of a sudden we have even the hardcore Trumpists are going back into saying, shaking my head. In fact, I've got a guy who was at the White House a year and a half ago with Donald Trump, praying for him in the Oval Office, and I sent him this article about William Barr, and all he said was SMH, shaking my head, basically in disbelief. So now we're finally starting to make people understand, Austin, that sure, we prayed Trump in. I believe that. And I believe Trump really wanted to make a difference. I don't think Trump had any idea how this world, now I'm going to say something that's going to sound really weird to you guys right now, but you got to take it in context. This world is being controlled and has been controlled by Lucifer and these interdimensional entities and these things that go bump in the night through black magic since the beginning, since Adam and Eve gave the planet over to Lucifer in the beginning. And these guys who work with this group of people who consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen, they believe that when Eve got beguiled in the Garden of Eden, that it wasn't she got tricked, that Lucifer had sex with her, and she gave birth to Cain, who was the progeny of Lucifer. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I wasn't in the garden. This is what they believe, okay? So this is how messed up their thinking and their twisted theology is. But these guys really believe all of this stuff, Austin. And they realize when they do their Kabbalah, and they wear their little red strings around their wrists, and they stand in their little circles around the body that they're sacrificing, or somebody they're drinking blood from, or one of these sick things they're involved in, they have an interdimensional interchange with these entities in another dimension. In fact, if you read Dave Hodges finally came out and told everything that his dad had told him and what he knew about ET and interdimensional entities in the space program in this last newsletter he sent out today. I've known about Dave and what he talked about. He said someday he'd release it, and he did. He released it. And the reality is this. If you think that we're not being controlled by off-worldly entities, then you ain't doing your homework. Okay? This stuff has been going on for a long, long time. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, after he had fasted, met with Lucifer. You guys remember. It says this in the Word. And he'd fasted, I think, for 40 days. And Lucifer took him to the top of one of the temples and showed him all the various lands of the world. And he goes, if you do but one thing, if you bow down and you worship me, I'll give you all this. And Jesus says, no, thou shalt have one God, thou have only one God before me. And basically rebuked Lucifer. Lucifer had in his power, because he already controlled these different kingdoms, because they were Baal worshiping, they were Moloch worshiping, they were Asherah pole worshiping, he had the power to give this to Christ, to Jesus. And Christ said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. Because, guys, when we're born again and we're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, and I've done full stories and full shows with you guys talking about the blood sacrifice and what it really means. When we're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of our testimony, we're not of this world. We're just passing through. That's all we are. We don't deal with this stuff, because this world has no hold on us, no hold whatsoever. So little by little, now with the Vatican coming out and saying that, that they have this, in Mount Graham out there in New Mexico, they have this satellite, this huge binocular telescope, Austin, that they say they call Lucifer. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. They really call it Lucifer. I mean, this is who these guys are. We know the Catholic Church is completely corrupt. Duarte from the Philippines tells the Filipinos, kill the bishops. He goes, 90% of the priests in the Catholic Church are gay in the Philippines. Let me repeat that. Philippines President Duarte called upon his country's population, which is predominantly Catholic, and 90% identify as Christians, to kill the bishops because 90% are gay. His remarks preceded the arrest of yet another priest of the country accused of dozens of sexual assault and rape cases in children. Presidential spokesperson Salvador Pellegrino says that Duarte's call to kill was only hyperbole, that Duarte regularly attacks the Catholic Church and its local clergy and claims to have been a victim of sexual assault as a child at the hands of an American Jesuit priest. Guys, these groups of people that are doing this are practicing their sexual magic with these young boys as taught to them by Aleister Crowley, which is another one of these dark magicians and black magicians that are involved in all of the stuff that we've talked about earlier today. Guys, they're all working together. The Council of the Committee of 300, the Bilderberger Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, all of these different groups are controlled through the international banking cartels because of the money. Because the money does it all. Because without the money, they can't be funded, and people can't eat, and the bills can't be paid. And if we understand that unless Donald Trump or whoever else we get, because quite frankly, we'll have a base left from Donald Trump's supporters, if Donald Trump even runs for president again, and quite frankly, Austin, at this point in time, he has lost a lot of his base, and unless they run Hillary Clinton again, he probably won't win. If they run Hillary Clinton again, he'll probably win the nomination again and win the election again, because everybody hates Hillary more than they will Trump by that point. But the reality is, guys, we have been basically sold a bill of goods. The United States is no longer a free republic. We have been completely and totally compromised by the international banking community, the Zionists, the forces of the Masonic lodges, which are all based in the Kabbalah, and also what's going on with the Council of 300 and also with the Bilderberger Group. All of these different groups have come together now to create this giant prison complex built around us without bars that we think we're free and we're not. Because think about this for a second, guys. There was so much election fraud just in Florida this past election. I mean, down in Broward County, are you kidding me? Tens of thousands of votes suddenly appear out of nowhere to the point that people are joking about finding boxes of votes and doggone the pythons and alligators down there in the Keys and then down in the Everglades. Really? It got that bad that finally they had to back off the doggone appeal of these guys, these hardcore leftist communists winning these elections, the Senate for the senator seat and also for the governor's seat in Florida. Guys, we have been basically sold down the river. Woodrow Wilson did it. He did it with the doggone Zionists. He did it with the Federal Reserve Bank. He did it. And it's been a very smooth sellout. I must admit, these guys have done an excellent job. As much as I don't admire them for what the outcome has been, their organizational skills and what they have done have been exemplary, because the majority of the people didn't realize they got cooked in the pot without even realizing he got turned up. That's what they've done to us. And so until you hear alternative talk shows tell you what I just told you, until you hear Christian pastors get in the pulpit and tell you what I just told you, until you hear these mainstream people on CNN, ABC, and CBS, and all the mainstream lying media tell you what I just told you, they're not telling you the truth. Every single thing I have documented that I told you today, including pulling off of Wikipedia pages, this is who is running our country right now, and it doesn't make a lick of difference who's in the White House. They're in a figurehead position, and until we restore the republic and get back to the rule of law and have the same laws for these guys passing laws to us, these doggone clowns in Washington, D.C., they've exempted themselves from Social Security. They've exempted themselves from Obamacare. And until they have to live with the same laws and the same tax structure and the same medical structure they leave we live with, we are never going to be a free republic, because they have put themselves above us by basically dictating to us of what we will and what we won't do, as we're the little plebes, the little indoctrinees, the little stupid ones they think that are going to be the people just follow them blindly. Guys, this is no good. We can't allow them to do this. And I'm telling you guys, I covered this same material last week on Hagmann, and Doug told me on Friday night this is the best show that I had ever done. Now, I disagree with him on that. I think the Blood of Christ show that I did with him was the best show I've ever done. But this is probably right up there, probably the top 10 I've done with the Hagmans. But the reality is this. We've got to understand who's in charge. And with this attorney general nomination, it's like when Gottlieb, with the guy was so big with GlaxoSmithKline as far as pushing vaccines, when they made him head of the FDA, I overlooked it. I fussed about it. I said, well, whatever, man. And then all of a sudden they bring up this doggone Kavanaugh, who's as dirty a swamp rat as it comes. And I fussed about it. I didn't like it, and I didn't overlook it. And now we got this guy coming in, who basically is the fixer guy, like the mafiosa for George Bush, bringing him in. It's almost as if that Bush, here we go, let's say, remember, Kavanaugh worked with Bush too. It's almost like that George Bush, Nazi, fascist group, Clinton, Obama group that's been running this country effectively now since 1980, that they have come in and basically co-opted Donald Trump, and they're back in charge. And that's how I see it, Austin. What do you think, bud?
And that's some pretty good points there, bud. I mean, that was a great opening. When I saw the same thing on Sunday with William Barr, I was pretty disappointed. I even saw an article earlier that came out yesterday from Rand Paul. And I quote him here. He said, "I'm concerned this guy is a huge supporter of the Patriot Act, which lowered the standard of spying on Americans. And he even went so far to say, you know, the Patriot Act was pretty good, but we need to go further." That's
there
what William Barr said a few years ago. He went on to say, as well, he said, "I'm also very disturbed that William Barr has been such a big fan of taking people's property via asset forfeiture without a conviction. So many people in our country have had cash taken from them, and then the government says, prove to us where you got the cash and you can get it back, and the burden is on the individual. Due process is at that point nullified. It is no longer in effect." Paul continued and said, "It's a terrible thing called asset forfeiture, and William Barr is also a huge fan of that." So we got our hands full with this guy. Sad as it is to see, this is what's going on now, and I'm pretty confident the same thing Dad said. It seems to be either what's going on with Trump on the back end, somebody's either been able to get him involved with something, or they've got something on him. I mean, it's nonstop what they're constantly trying to do as far as blast him with everything. And like Dad said, Gottlieb, Kavanaugh, now this guy of all guys, I mean, he literally was Mr. Fix-It for George Bush. I mean, he was. I mean, pretty anything went wrong, whether it was running dope to mean in Arkansas down from Columbia and weapons back and forth, whether it was going through and all the stuff that happened in the 80s and 90s with Clinton and Waco, everything, man. This guy has been neck deep in this crap for the last 40 years, and we just put him as the eternal Jerry General of the United States of America. I mean, that right there is pretty disheartening, bud. I mean, so we'll see what happens now as far as what he's going to do, and hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. Also, too, in other news, if you guys saw over in Europe over the weekend, I talked to a lot of the Doug continually about this on Friday. So there was a large amount of protesters on Saturday in Paris, and essentially what Macron did was he sent out the EU stormtroopers. They came out in armored personnel vehicles with tear gas dispensers, full armored personnel carriers, with a giant EU flags on the side of the armored personnel carriers. Not Paris, EU. So it was essentially an EU globalist army that came in. Over 1,000 people were taken into custody as they came in to squash the anti-tax protesters. So they brought in a full-blown police state to make sure that these guys were going to have absolutely nothing to do, because you got to remember, Paris, France, they're completely disarmed over there. And to bring you to that, I talked in detail as well. You guys can listen to on Friday some really detailed stuff as far as what we're having happen right now with losing our rights and the ability to defend ourselves. New Jersey just took it to a whole nother level. As of tomorrow, in the entire state of New Jersey, it will now be a fourth degree felony to simply possess what they deem a high capacity magazine. And what is a high capacity magazine according to New Jersey? Any magazine that can hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. If you are in possession of just one of them, you will be in possession of illegal contraband, and a fourth degree felony charge will be down on top of you. And unlike previous magazine bans, this one retroactively bans people from even owning these magazines in their home or mere possession of them, even though they purchased them legally in the past. In many states where they tried to ban these magazines, they grandfathered in a lot of people. If you already had the magazines, you could keep them. If you basically had bought them before, you could keep them. There was really a lot of leeway with them. New Jersey just went full-blown totalitarian. If you simply have a piece of plastic in your possession, remember this, guys, we're talking about plastic and steel magazines, just plastic magazines. I mean, nothing, just nothing fancy here. This is not a firearm. This isn't a part. This is literally considered a feeding device that is totally and completely inoperable without the exact ammunition and the weapon to insert it into. So we have a plastic piece of just magazine, plastic piece with a spring in it, and if you were in possession of that now, you are going to be considered a felon. This is what happens when you allow a tyrannical government to come in and start dictating to you what you can and can't do. This isn't going to stop, guys. And this is what I told Doug on Friday. We both agreed on this. This isn't going to stop with the firearm laws. They're going to continue to push and push and push and push and push until they have fully made it completely and totally illegal. See, here's the thing, though. They probably won't have a lot of people turn these magazines in, even if they give them the opportunity to. They'll just, a lot of people, they're going to rebel and say, no, I'm not going to turn them in. That's fine. What's happening is you get stopped on a traffic stop, or you get pulled over doing something, and they get a dog out and they search your car, and all of a sudden they, hey, you got a gear bag here, you got a 30-round magazine in it. Well, I don't even have an AR in the truck, man. I forgot about that magazine. It's been there for a couple of years in the back of my pickup truck. I haven't cleaned it out. Well, sorry, bud. This is a fourth-degree felony to possess. We're charging you with felony possession of a magazine now. You're going to jail. You're going to have to basically be held. There'll probably be a $5,000 or $10,000 bond you're going to have to put up basically on felony charges. You're going to go, oh, come on, guys. Guys, I don't even have an AR anymore. I sold my AR. I don't even need it anymore. The magazine's been here. Oh, sorry, that's the law, New Jersey law. Felony to possess this piece of plastic now. You're going to jail. This is why I pitched a fit about all the stinking people that agreed, including the NRA, to allow Florida to make it a felony to possess a bump stock. This is what they continue to do, is bring it down a notch, bring it down a notch, bring it down a notch. Accessories, guys, not even the firearms anymore they're going after. They're now going after mere accessories that are inoperable objects that can't be done with anything without the firearm being present. This is what happens when a tyrannical government comes in and dictates what you can and can't do, because the next step that they will start doing at these points points is anybody that has a weapon that they deem to be scary, like larger than a revolver or a pump-action shotgun, they'll make those illegal and a felony to possess. This is what they've done in every single country, usually right before mass genocide occurred. They take the ability of the population to defend themselves properly with any type of substantial force, and they understand magazines, especially the large ones, 100, 150-round armor-type assault drums, they do not want people having the ability to lay down any type of significant cover fire, even with a semi-automatic ammunition, semi-automatic rifle. So now they're making it illegal felony to be in possession of a plastic device, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's like ridiculous. It's like if you have the bottom assembly for a bump stock, it's felony now in California. And it's basically, I think it's a felony in Florida now to have a bump stock weapon. I mean, these are plastic pieces. I mean, if they said if you have a fully assembled gun, you know, with a 30-round magazine in it, in the back of your car, we're going to charge you with a felony. That's bad. That's bad, okay? They shouldn't do that. But just to have the doggone magazine in your car, you had to change a tire one time, and you had a gun under the seat, and you took the magazine out, it's not loaded, and it got thrown in behind the spare tire, and you haven't seen it in 10 years, and all of a sudden you pull the tire out, and you're on the side of the road changing the tire, the cop comes, and he sees that felony, now he sees a magazine,
you're under arrest,
man, felony. And you're like, and then, of course, now we have, thanks to Mr. Barr, we're going to have asset seizure. So now they take the vehicle and they say, we got you in a felony. You're carrying contraband. And you're like, now you're like, oh, my God, now I lost my truck, and I'm in charge of the felony, and I'm in jail, and.
Yep.
This is hardcore socialism, communism at its finest. Take away the weapons. Take away everything. Make everybody a criminal. What did Ronald Reagan say? The IRS has made everybody in the country a criminal. You're a criminal until you prove yourself innocent. I mean, unbelievable. Remember, Samuel Untermeyer and all the boys with Woodrow Wilson, with the Federal Reserve Act and the IRS, they all did it together at the same time, 1913. This same group brought us this because the international banking cabal knew that if they didn't give us a forced income tax structure, they could not create socialism or communism in the United States, because you have to have a tiered income structure, because otherwise it allows you to raise your head above the masses if you're successful in business, and it gives you political power because you have money and you can invest in your own campaigns, etc., or buy ad time on radio and TV. They can't allow that. So they got to bring your income down. Sometimes, I mean, there's a certain point. If you make like $35,000 a year, you pay like, I'm just guessing, it's something like this. You pay like 12% income tax, and once you go over $35,000, it goes up like 22% income tax, almost doubles. So basically, you'd be better off not to make $36,000. You'd be better off say, I want to stay at $35,000. I don't want you to give me a $1,000 raise, because once I hit the $1,000 raise, I go up 10% on my income tax. It's going to cost me an extra $2,000 in taxes that I wouldn't have to pay. That's how they do this kind of nonsense, guys. And see, we need to understand that, and we need to realize that unless we get rid of that tiered income tax structure, and income tax in general needs to go away, the United States should be functioning on tariffs like the Constitution had been framed to do to start with. But they knew they had to be able to tax people to take away their hard-earned money they earned from their labor. They had to be able to do that to keep everybody. I mean, let's look at it this way. Let's stop and think for a second. Let's say you build a $200,000 house, and let's say you make $50,000 a year, and you qualify for a $200,000 house. After you make $50,000 a year, after your deductions, you're probably going to bring home $35,000 a year. Well, then you got to pay your car payments. You got to make your house payment, now, which is, you know, $1,000 a month. You got to pay your kids' school. You got to pay this or that or that. So you have basically no money. So you're paying $2,000 a month in house payments. You got all the rest of the money coming in. You're making, you know, $35,000 a year. You're bringing home $3,000 a month. And there's nothing left. So you're literally going to pay for that house for 30 to 40 years, and you will pay for that house 2 to 3 times. So instead of costing you $200,000, it's going to cost you $400,000, maybe $600,000. That's how they keep you in poverty. That's how they do it. I mean, you'd be better off to just live in a doggone rental unit, drop your payments down to $700 or $800 a month, save the extra money, and put a huge deposit or try to pay cash for a house, or build a small house and live in it and be happy with it, and then let it appreciate a little bit and sell that and try to buy another house and go move up a little bit by little bit by little bit, instead of getting into this situation where you're making a house payment for 30 to 40 years. It's the mortgage monkey that jumps on your back and then grabs you by the throat and starts sucking blood out of you. I mean, this is the problem that so many people have. And it's okay as long as the economy is expanding, as long as the mortgage rates are down, as long as the housing values are going up, because you can always sell it and get your money back out of it. But if it reverses like it did in 2008, which is quickly working its way to doing that again, then all of a sudden the house becomes worth less money than you have in it. So now that's why so many people walked away from their homes in 2008, 2009, 2010, Austin, because they had borrowed $700,000-$800,000 on the house, and it was worth $250,000. I saw it over and over again. Here's another story. Teacher is now being fired after refusing to use transgender students' preferred pronouns. Virginia. Peter Vlaming, a French teacher at the West Point High School who's Christian, was fired for refusing to address a ninth grade student using a male pronoun because he said that she was a girl. While Vlaming agreed to use the gender's new male name, he attempted to avoid using the pronouns of he, him, her, she, she when referring to her, trying to reach a state of mutual tolerance. But the student continued to complain that she felt uncomfortable because he wasn't referring to her by the proper pronoun. Vlaming said that the threat against his job was coercive instead of tolerant, and Vlaming had the constitutional right not to be compelled to speak something that violates his conscience as a Christian, so he was fired. Guys, this is just unbelievable. This is happening, and it's happening over and over and over again. In Alabama, a police shot and killed a legally armed black man at a mall on Thanksgiving night. Back to Hoover, Alabama, an armed black male, Emmanuel Bradford, 21, was shot by the police at a mall as officers responded to reports of gunshots on Thanksgiving night, but they appeared to have shot an innocent man. Bradford was reported to be legally carrying a handgun and directing shoppers to safety. Initially, law enforcement authorities publicly identified him as the gunman and then changed their story the next day. Benjamin Crump, the lawyer for the family of Bradford, said a forensic examination that was commissioned by the family showed that Mr. Bradford was shot in the back of his head and body while running away and posed no threat to the police. A judge ordered the police officer's body cam video and mall surveillance video to be released, but it is being withheld from the public pending criminal investigation by law enforcement officers, making sure they have enough time to erase the body cam. Oops, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. Maybe that's not true. Aaron Marquise Decam Brown has been charged with the initial shooting of the 18-year-old man and a 12-year-old girl that drew the police to the mall, but claims that he did not instigate the violence. I mean, guys, so now we just shoot concealed weapons holders because I guess they're black and running away? I have no idea. This is ridiculous. By the way, as doctors taper, this is a sad story, as doctors taper or end opioid prescriptions, many patients who do not want to be driven to using basically aftermarket, not over-the-counter, drug dealers are basically driven to despair and suicide. Why? Because they're addicted to the opiates, and a lot of these guys are in really, really, really bad pain. This is sad. This is the first of a three-part series in the nation's struggle to address the crippling opioid crisis and the unintended victims left in its wake. It happens slowly. The pain caused by a 1980 back fracture, the result of a tractor-trailer crash, crippled more and more of Jay Lawrence's body and spirit. By 2006, the Tennessee native and Navy veteran's arms and legs were going numb, and excruciating pain reduced him to tears. Multiple surgeries, chiropractic adjustments, and physical therapy didn't work. He found solace in painkillers, 120 milligrams a day of morphine. Guys, that's a lot of morphine. But last February, the pain doctor delivered jarring news. He was cutting Lawrence's doses down to 90 milligrams and then down to 30 milligrams, and it did not work. So Lawrence, because he could no longer take the pain, basically committed suicide. You know, this is sad to me, Austin, when you have somebody who has a serious back problem because they're had an accident and they're denied painkillers because our government is doing the best they can. I'm going to say this very clearly, to drive more and more and more people to the illegal opiate market to help fund the Afghan heroin epidemic that has basically gone into the United States, hoping they would get OxyContin or morphine or heroin and start doing injectables, become part of the street drug traffic. This guy was unwilling to do that and basically decided he'd rather kill himself. I've had multiple back surgeries. First one back in 1988 when Austin was born, 31 years ago. And quite frankly, it was debilitating. I mean, the pain was unbelievable, excruciating. I had 80% compression of my L4, L5 disc into my spinal cord. And I mean, it was mind-numbing pain. So if anybody is experiencing that, been there, done that, okay? And I, quite frankly, I didn't go on opiates because I was too scared of them. I just dealt with the pain, finally had the back surgery to remove the compression of that disc, an L4, L5 decompressive laminectomy, which, praise God, worked. And so it's one of those things that I know what that kind of pain feels like. years later, I herniated another disc. This is about 10, 12 years ago. And the guy put me on a product called Dilaudin, which is a really tiny amount of morphine. And I couldn't believe how the pain stopped instantaneously within minutes. And I was very careful not to get addicted to it. But I learned how powerful those drugs are and how they stop pain. So guys, been there, done that, feel it. So if you guys are on it, I know how it feels. It's one of those things that'll take the pain away. Natural ways you can do it with surgery, chiropractic adjustments. I hope and pray they work for you guys. But quite frankly, taking a person who's got crippling pain like this, drugs away, Austin, I think it's the wrong thing to do if they've been on them for 20, 30 years. What do you think, Bud?
Well, that's exactly what they have to look at on it, is what the person, the issue that the person has, what kind of surgeries they had, their background on it. And see, this has nothing to do with reducing the actual opioid crisis in the United States. I've already talked about this in detail because the CDC released a report November 30th this year that nobody's talked about, showing directly that despite the drop in painkiller prescriptions that they initiated, painkiller prescriptions have gone down significantly this year and last year, by the way. I mean, they've dropped off hard. Exactly what that's talking about right here. This is systemic. Even though this has happened and the opioid painkiller prescription legally from the pharmaceuticals, you know, from like pharmacies has gone down significantly, the drug overdose is continuing to go up and up and up every year, with the growth driven by the illicit opioid fentanyl and heroin. That's what's going on. That's the ironic part about this now, is that I don't even think heroin is as big of a cash cow as it used to be. Because you got to remember, the synthetic fentanyl, you can still make different types of form of fentanyl through opioids, as far as through poppy. There's all kinds of different synthetic opioids you can make from poppy. And the fact that we're seeing the growth of poppy in Afghanistan literally almost double now every year. I mean, it's compounding on itself, the yields that they're starting to get. And yet the prescription rates are going down in the United States, yet the opioid deaths are continuing to go up, shows you that it has nothing to do anymore with the prescription pills. The prescription pills were a catalyst to get people hooked on easy opiates through the doctor because they did not realize how addictive they were going to be. There are article after article after article, especially with the makers of OxyContin, on multiple lawsuits they've been involved with, because they directly told the consumer, the doctors were told, the pharmaceutical reps told the doctors to tell the patients, listen, these aren't that addictive, they're time-released, it's not an issue, they're not that hard to come off of, it's OxyContin, it's a great product, it kills the pain. And it got rid of the pain all right. It also got a whole generation of kids, teenagers, and adults that are now hooked on opioids, and when you start having doctors now that suck up the supply legally, you got bad enough opioid withdrawals, you're going to try to find them somewhere. And that's exactly what we're having now. Couple that with the Xanax generation that we now have for kids that are as young as 10, 11, 12 years old going on Xanax for depression and anxiety. You couple that with opioids, you got yourself one addicted, dumbed down, stupefied population when you start combining Xanax and opioids, especially in high dosages. This is the overall goal, because if you can keep a large percentage of the population quelled on different types of drugs, especially drugs that are this difficult to get off of, that's what it's really easy to control the population, man. No question about it. But going back, I wanted to say one thing about that, Dad, because I saw this with a school board fired the Christian teacher for refusing to use the kids, the girl, guy, whatever his preferred pronoun. This is something that is unprecedented now, because we've seen the step down of tolerance. At the same time the leftist demands tolerance, they reduce their level of tolerance. You know, we had the gay people that wanted the cake, the homosexual individuals that wanted the cake from the Christian bakery. They got sued. That whole thing went on for years and years and years, and eventually it went back and forth. Now we're having teachers, and by the way, the teacher, as Deb said, he did not refuse to call this girl by her new boy name, because she was a girl, she wanted to be called a boy name. He did not refuse her to call her that, but he said, I'm not going to confuse the kids in this school, nor am I going to compromise my beliefs by calling her a him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. It doesn't make any sense. It's biologically inaccurate. It's a girl to girl to guy to guy. If she wants to change her name, I completely respect that, but I'm not going to compromise my beliefs. And funny thing is, the school claimed it was an issue of tolerance. They blatantly said, and I quote, "We do not and cannot tolerate discrimination in any form or any actions that create a hostile environment for members of our school family," declared the school board. This is what they're doing, guys. At the same time they're demanding tolerance, they're being the most intolerant individuals on the planet. So there comes a point in time where everybody has to start standing up. The sad part about this was the hearing that they had on this guy, they had over 200 public individuals come there to support him, and they only allowed 38 people to come into the room, sealed the room off after that. 38 members of the public, that was it. And almost all the people that were allowed in were supporters of the school board, which voted 5-0 to fire him because he did not call this girl that decided she wants to be a boy now by his and him pronouns instead of her and his, whatever. This, to me, when I saw this, got me so riled up, because this is exactly what I keep talking about, is the compromising of the younger generation and forcing everybody to capitulate with their sadistic behavior. It reminds me so much, again, of what you constantly read about Sodom and Gomorrah, where every thought of every man was evil all the time, and every man, young and old, surrounded Lot's house to get a hold of these angels. This is where it goes, because people always say, well, you know, we have to be tolerant, we have to compromise a little bit. Okay, I got that. That's what you're saying on this. So where's the line drawn? Where do we compromise at, and where do we stop compromising at? Because if we don't do something different, if we don't draw a line somewhere, we're going to be sitting in Lot's house where every man, young and old, is surrounding our house to beg Lot to allow the people to come in and drag us out so they can rape us. That's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when you continue to compromise and you allow tolerance to have no limits. This is where it goes. There is no stopping it. They continue to push and push and push and push. Oh, it doesn't stop? Oh, now you're a felon tomorrow morning if you have a 30-round PMAG in your possession in New Jersey. Just like that, you're going to be a felon. There are no lines drawn with these people. They're going to continue to push and continue to push and continue to push until people get vocal enough and start growing some chest and say, hey, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. Instead of 200 people show up at the hearing, we're going to have 1,000 people show up at the hearing, and even if you decide to fire him, we're pulling all of our support, all of our funding, all of our kids out of the school system, and we're going to go to a different school. We're going to go to a charter school, we're going to a private school, we're going to go to another school, and we're basically going to eviscerate this school on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Google, on Yelp, on search, on Bing, anything. We're going to put thousands upon thousands upon thousands of one-star reviews about this school, and we're going to make sure that everybody knows before they go to this school what a steaming pile of crap the school board is that runs this school. That's what we have to start doing, guys. We have the power, we have the voice, and we have the strength to make a difference. The problem is everybody's getting too scared because they say, well, it's not happening to me. It's not happening to me, so I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to have any conflict. I don't want to have any issues, guys. Don't. I'm not doing anything. It's like they said before. When they go to the next house, oh, it's not my house. I'm fine with it. And they go to the house across the street, and they raid them. Well, I don't live across the street. It's fine with me. Where do you think they're going next? You think they're going to skip over your house because you're special? They're going to continue their agenda as far as they can take it until there's some type of backlash. And when there's no backlash, they take it another step. I remember how much controversy it was when they sued the cake baker, the bakery, for not making a gay cake. Now we have people getting fired from school systems because they don't want to call a girl him and him or whatever she wanted to get called because she decided she wanted to be a boy the next day. There has to be a line. There has to be some degree of sanity that we follow. There has to be some type of guidelines and rules that we hold ourselves true to. We have to have morals and ethics. If we don't, it goes to full-blown debauchery, just like it was at Sodom and Gomorrah, when every single man, young and old, surrounded Lot's house so they could drag the angels out to have their way with him. That is where the line basically gets drawn, I guess, if you want to put it at that. That's how far they take take it until they start saying, well, there's nothing left any more sadistic or perverted for us to do, so I guess we have to draw the line somewhere. I guess that's here. Really? Is that really where we're going to allow this to go, guys? So I'm sorry for that article because I had a couple other topics I wanted to talk about today. I'm running out of time. But when I saw that and the level that they're taking this and how aggressive they're becoming now, 5-0, the school board voted on this guy. 5-0. There wasn't even opposition. 5-0. That's it. That's what they're doing in the school systems, and we have to start being vocal and making a stand, Dad.
Wow. Phenomenal, Austin. I'd love to get that one edited out. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, the thing that we have to understand, this perversion has no limits. It's complete and total. It goes to the point of just the complete Luciferianism is what it is.
Yeah.
It goes back. It goes as deep as it can get into the sex with children, pedophilia,
yep,
rape, incest, bestiality. It has no limits, and this is what the Old Testament talked about all the time. You can't allow this stuff to be in your midst. You got to root it out, you know. And it's like, you know, it's like in Israel, they changed the law. They used to have real strict abortion laws, but because the Talmud basically says that a woman can have an abortion all the way up until the time of conception or the time of birth, they've made it full 9 months. They can have an abortion now legally in Israel the day before the baby's born. They can have the baby yanked out and killed. That's where it goes. And see, we don't understand the perversion and how bad. They've had 17 gay parades now in Jerusalem alone. And people say, well, do you support Israel? I support the Christians in Israel. I support the Christians who are born again believers who are under tremendous persecution in Israel. I pray for Israel. I pray that they'll have a godly government brought in and these communists get out of office. I pray for all of that. But as far as giving them money and supporting this gosh awful mess that they're involved in now, no. Number one homosexual destination in the world, no. No point. I'm sorry. Get off the topic. We're out of time anyhow. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here. Hope you had a great weekend. And guys, don't worry about what's happening with the Attorney General. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for all the support you've continued to give us. We did a Doug Hagman promo on Friday on a whim for Doug 5, and what we went ahead and did was, for all of our listeners, anybody that places an order with a Doug 5 coupon on orders of $100 or more, we got a free 80% cacao Honduras chocolate bar. We're throwing you guys in there for free for Christmas, and a couple other little goodies that we've been getting together from some of our other suppliers just as a thank you. So I'll let you guys know that is going active. We'll have it active until Wednesday this week, so for another 2 days we'll be having that going on. And thank you for all the support, guys. Thank you for everything you continue to do, and please stay strong. Don't allow this tolerance to cloud your judgment. If it does not follow the biblical guidelines that we know and hold to be true, then it is not something, in my opinion, that we have to follow anymore. And it is no longer a concept of being tolerant. It's a concept of capitulating to another agenda that I don't want to be involved in. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for all the support. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.